appreciate the goodness of God. We do desire your prayers as we look into the Word of God tonight, that the Lord would bless His Word and God would bless our souls. We'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Revelation, the second chapter. I want to begin reading at the 12th verse down through the 17th verse. Revelation, the second chapter, beginning at verse 12 through verse 17.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write,
yes,
these things said he which hath the sharp sword with two edges.
Yes.
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
Where thou dwellest.
Even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name,
has
not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas
was
my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth.
I have a few things against thee.
Yes. Yes.
Who taught Balak
to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Yes. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, dear ones, the thought that's on our heart tonight that we'd like to consider. In the 13th verse, the Lord said, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. We want to talk about Satan's seat tonight. I'd like, first of all, to read a definition for the word seat. The dictionary says a seat is a place in which something is established. It's where something is settled. It means a residence. It means the place of one's power. Now here in this 13th verse, Jesus said, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Now here, dear ones, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the church at Pergamos, he said, I know where Satan's seat is. Here he realized that Satan, the enemy of all souls, had gained the seat. He had been successful, dear ones, in getting himself established, in getting himself entrenched, in taking up residence in this place, and building him a stronghold by way of idolatrous worship, right in the very area where this church was located. And Jesus said, I know where Satan's seat is. I'm looking down upon the situation. I know every problem, every test, every trial that you're going through. I know all the persecution you've suffered at the hand of the enemy of your soul. But I'm looking down upon the situation. Now, folks, tonight, as we consider this thought of where Satan's seat is, we're not dealing with a town. We're not dealing with a city. We're not dealing with any certain location. But we're dealing tonight with the minds and hearts of men and women and boys and girls where Satan have been successful in getting himself established. He's been successful in getting himself entrenched. He's been successful in taking up residence in the minds and hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. He's been successful in building him a stronghold right in the very hearts of men. I know where Satan's seat is. Oh, as we look into the Word of God tonight, we desire your prayers that the Lord would bless and make His Word clear and plain. Now, as we talk about Satan's seat, in simple terms, what we're dealing with is demonic possession and demonic influence. We want to talk about demon possession and demon influence. I'd like for someone to turn to the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. Begin reading at the 1st verse for us, please.
Mark
Mark 5, beginning at verse 1.
Yes.
Yes.
There
met him of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Yes, and with chains. Chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now here, dear one, somehow, Satan, the enemy of all souls, had been successful in getting advantage of this man, taking possession of this soul, taking up his residence in the heart and life of this individual. Somehow, Satan, the enemy of all souls, had been successful in getting himself entrenched, building a stronghold in the mind and part of this individual. The scripture said always, night and day, this man was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man was in a miserable and a wretched and a sad condition. I'm thinking about also Mary Magdalene. It said, out of whom went seven devils. Somehow the enemy had been able to get an advantage of these precious souls, get in and take possession of them. Listen, folks, we're living in a world where Satan is taking advantage of men and women and boys and girls, and destroying their eternal soul. I know where Satan's seat is. I know where the power that Satan has. I know where he's had the opportunity to get in and work and deal with precious souls. I'm thinking here, dear ones, as we consider this thought, dealing with Satan's seed. Now here we don't have any, the scripture doesn't give us any record of how the enemy was able to get in and take possession of this man, but there were legions of devils in this man's soul. The scripture doesn't give us any background concerning Mary Magdalene and how the enemy was able to get an advantage of her. But listen, folks, tonight the scripture do give us some thoughts of how the enemy, in the time in which you and I live, is being successful in inhabiting, taking up his residence, and getting possession of the souls of men and women and boys and girls, and destroying their eternal souls. We want to consider this a little bit as we look into the Word of God. I'd like for you to turn with us now to the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Desire your prayers. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. Yes.
All the people.
Yes.
Was greatly amazed.
Running to him, saluted him. He asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" One of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. He asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." Folks, do you know that Satan possessed children? It doesn't only have to be an adult. Don't only have to be grown people. Do you know that Satan possessed children? Here the Lord asked this man. He said, "How long ago is it that this came unto him?" He said, "Of a child." Oh, may God help us tonight. Satan establishing himself taking up residence, getting entrenched in the hearts and minds and lives of children, of young people, of teenagers, of adults, and destroying their eternal soul. All right, we'd like for someone to turn to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Read the 6th verse for us. Someone get Psalms 51 and 5 for us, please.
Train up a child
in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. We want to come back to this scripture. All right, Psalms 51 and 5.
Behold,
I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, dear ones, tonight, every individual that's born into this world, when a little child is born into this world, that child is shapen in iniquity, that's in sin they're conceived. Here tonight, dear ones, every child that's born into this world have a depraved nature. They have a sinful nature, and as a result of that depraved and sinful nature, Satan seeks to take advantage of it. The devil is right there to take advantage of it. When a child is born into this world, that child to a degree is already at a disadvantage. That child have a nature that's automatically bent toward evil. And the devil is right there to take advantage of that child. Do you know that Satan is observing every precious soul? And as he observes precious souls, the devil will commission and dispatch certain spirits to deal with certain individuals, because he knows that this is the best way, this is the most effective way that I can deal with this individual, to snare their soul and trap their soul. And he has certain spirits that he commissioned and dispatched to deal with certain people. For an example, I'm thinking about a rebellious spirit. Do you know that as Satan observed certain children, he realized that the most effective way that I can deal with this child is to promote rebellion in that child's life. So he will commission a spirit to get with that child and follow that child as that child grew up. See, the devil is right there to promote rebellion in that child's heart. As that child is taught and instructed, Satan is right there to promote rebellion. And that child rebel against the light. They rebel against the counsel. They rebel against the advice. They rebel against the instruction that's given them. They rebel against their parents. They rebel against the teachers. They rebel against the law officials. Law enforcement officers. But do you know what? As that child rebels, every time that he rebels, he opens himself up more to the enemy of his soul. Satan gets a little greater grip on that child's soul. And all the time, the plan of the enemy is to work with that child until that child will fully surrender, fully submit their will to him, that he can enter in and take up his possession, take up residence there, see? Satan commissioned and dispatched certain spirits to deal with certain people because of their makeup and the way that he deals with that individual. He's seeking to get possession of them. All right, going back to the scripture that we dealt with in Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Lord puts a responsibility upon you and me. And we that are parents, we that are overseers, we that are guardians, even spiritual overseers, God places a responsibility upon us to observe those children that's coming up under our care. We are to watch those children. We are to be able to discern the way the enemy is dealing with that child's soul. And we are to take a stand. We are to work with that child to help mold them and fashion them in a righteous pattern as they journey along the path of life. And we are to be able to observe and discern how the devil is working with that child, and we are to be able to work with them that we can oppose that rebellious spirit that's working and break the power of that spirit before Satan can take possession of that individual soul. Oh, I know where Satan's seat is. I know where Satan have been successful in entrenching himself and establishing himself, building him a stronghold, taking up residence, and taking possession of precious souls. All right, someone, now, if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, reading the 13th and the 14th verse for us, please.
Withhold not
withhold not correction from a child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Folks, we're not talking about child abuse. But the Bible plainly instructs us that we are to use the rod. And in some way, that's the only way that rebellious spirit is going to be conquered. As we work with that child, and we chasten that child, and we correct that child, sometimes it's going to take the rod to help bring that child into line. See, now we realize that every child is not alike, and you can't deal with every child the same way. Some children, it won't take the rod to bring them under correction, but God is expecting you and me to get down before Him and get an understanding of how to deal with our children and our young people. What's the best and most effective way to deal with this child, to conquer that rebellious spirit and break the powers of it? See, I know where Satan's seat is. Folks, Satan have a seat in the hearts and lives of many children, many young people, many men and women and boys and girls in these last and evil days. All right, as we consider this thought, dealing here with our children, I'm thinking about the literature that our children read. Do you know that Satan commissioned certain spirits to work with certain types of literature? If people read a certain kind of literature, Satan have commissioned and dispatched a certain spirit to deal with that individual, to accompany them everywhere they go. The devil is right there with them to present the thoughts of those things that they read, replay them in their mind, deal with that individual soul about that thing, always with the plan in mind to get that individual to open up their heart and their life to such a degree that he can enter in and take possession of that individual. Thinking about the music that our children listen to. Folks, do you know God is requiring us to be alert, to be watchful, to know what our children is reading, to know what music our children is listening to? God is requiring us to take note of those things. Do you not know that there are certain spirits commissioned to deal with certain kinds of music? That spirit will accompany that kind of music. Those that listen to it, that spirit is right there present with them to work with them and deal with them, seeking to get an advantage of that soul, seeking for them to open themselves up that he might be able to take possession of them. Amen. I'm thinking about movies, television. Yes. Folks, do you know that Satan commissions a certain spirit to work with certain kind of movies and certain kind of pictures? He has certain spirits that will work with those things. And as people watch those movies, and as they watch television, do you know there's a spirit right there present with them, working with them, dealing with them, seeking an entrance into their heart and into their life? Listen, folks, today, this is one reason why we have so many children, so many young people, so many teenagers and young adults that's possessed with unclean spirits, possessed with lustful spirits, possessed with incest spirits, possessed with murdering spirits, possessed with all kinds of spirits, because of the literature they read, because of the music they listen to, because of the movies they watch. They open themselves up, and the devil takes advantage of them. I know where Satan's seat is. I know where the place of his power is. I know how the enemy has been successful in getting himself entrenched in the minds and hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls, and carrying them down to eternal damnation. Oh, I'm thinking about witchcraft. Do you know sometime our children, out of curiosity, maybe not really that interested in this, but I'm not really intending to get all involved in it, but I'm just kind of curious about this thing. And they begin to read literature on that thing. They begin to kind of pry into it. Oh, folks, listen. When you begin to tamper and play with things like that, do you not know that there are spirits that go along with those things? Do you not know that there are spirits that go along with the crystal ball? There are spirits that go along with fortune fortune telling. There's spirits that go along with devil worship. All of those kind of things. And we as parents, we as overseers, we as spiritual workers need to be observative of what our children is dealing with, that we might be able to help withstand those spirits. I know where Satan's seat is. All right, turn with us to Romans, the first chapter. How is it that Satan, the enemy of all souls, has been successful in getting a residence, getting entrenched, getting established in the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls? The devil cannot just walk up to a soul and push his way in. But there must be grounds given to the enemy, see, for him to take possession of an individual. All right, in Romans, the first chapter, beginning at verse 20, please. Yes.
Being understood by the things that are made.
Yes.
Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul said, when they knew God,
they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Yes, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. How is it that Satan is able to gain possession of a precious soul? All right, he cannot, as it was stated, just walk right up and push his way in to the heart and life of an individual. All right, here the scripture says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Because that when they knew God, or when they knew of God, I'm thinking here, dear ones, tonight, there are many precious souls, children of the saints, loved ones of the saints, been brought up around a family altar. They've been taught the right ways of God, even though some of them may not be saved. Do you know, dear ones, that there are some things that even if you're not saved, God is requiring you to abstain from, to stay away from. God has given you knowledge and light and understanding, and he's requiring you to use that understanding that he's given to you and abstain and refrain from certain things. But here these people, dear ones, they were not thankful when they knew God. They didn't glorify him. They had no respect, no reverence from the great God of heaven. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. Wasn't thankful for the mercy of God. Wasn't thankful for the goodness of God. Wasn't thankful to have saved parents that would channel them in the right way, but they rebelled against it. They began to push it off. Folks, that's a dangerous thing to do. Oh, may God help us. They were not thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the truth of God into a lie. Folks, listen. These people began to tamper with the truth of God. See, they changed the truth of God into a lie. Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Became idolatrous worshipers. And we're not talking about worshiping little carved statues like that. But folks, when we talk about idolatry, listen, an idol is anything
that we set up on a pedestal, anything that we set up on an equal level with God, anything that we exalt above God, it can be houses, land, it can be husband, wife, it can be clothes, whatever we exalt to that position, it becomes an idol to us. And here these people began to pursue and follow a course of idolatry, turning away from God, turning away from the knowledge and light and understanding that God has shown on that pathway. And you know what happened? God drew back His umbrella of protection. He just stepped back from those precious souls. And those vile spirits that were lurking around and watching them came right in and took over. Folks, tonight, do you know that if God would just pull back the curtain, that there are demons right here in our presence tonight? Do you know that there are demonic spirits sitting right among us, observing every one of us, watching and waiting for an opportunity to prey up on some soul? I'm persuaded tonight, if God would pull back the curtain and let us see what we have in our midst, it would stir our eternal soul, folks. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. God stepped back, took away His umbrella of protection, let these vile spirits come in, and they began to take these souls over. It said, and likewise also the men, backing up for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. Folks, do you not know that it's spirits connected with this thing? It's spirits connected with this thing. All right, the scripture says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Do you know? Sometimes the saints' children and loved ones, they get a spirit about them that they'll let you know, I don't want you to talk to me about God. Don't tell me anything about the Lord. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, see? I don't want to hear anything about the Lord. Folks, that's an extremely dangerous thing to do. When we begin to take that kind of attitude, we begin to open ourselves up, and rest assured, Satan is going to get an advantage of our eternal soul, see? When these people took that attitude, God just backed off, and He left those vile spirits. He said He just turned them over and gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate means unprincipled. It's nothing in that mind to govern that mind, to say that this is wrong, don't do it, see? That individual can go out and whatever their heart desired to do, they can indulge in it. No remorse of conscience, no bitterness about the things they've indulged in, no condemnation, no conviction, just whatever my heart desired to do, I can do it, see? Folks, there are spirits that's dealing with this thing, see? Reprobate spirits, just old spirits, there's no principle to them at all. They'll just come right in and take your soul over, and you'll find yourself doing things you never dreamed you'd do. I know where Satan's seat is. Satan has been successful in gaining a seat, in gaining a place, in gaining power and authority over the hearts and minds and lives of men and women and boys and girls. How is it that the devil get this advantage? It's not that he just walk right in and take over, but folks open themselves up. They set themselves up as a mark for the enemy. All right, going a little bit farther now to the book of Isaiah, the 4th chapter. I'd like for you to read the first verse for us, please. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. We'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Folks, do you know that there are not only lustful spirits, unclean spirits, murdering spirits? Do you know there are religious spirits? Do you know that Satan commissioned certain spirits to deal with certain people? There are people that are religious. They have no desire to be saved, but they're religious. And Satan have religious spirits to deal with those kind of people, see?
Here the scripture said, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own bread, we'll wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Listen, folks, Isaiah is termed as being a gospel day prophet because he prophesied so much of the things that would come to pass in the time of Jesus. He prophesied about the church of God, and the church of God in the scripture is styled as a woman. And here the scripture said, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. The church world, the religious world in general, taking hold of the name of Jesus. But they said, we'll eat our own bread. We won't abide by your doctrine. We'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our own apparel. Here the scripture said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall a man live. The scripture instruct us and teach us that we are to be clothed with the robe of righteousness. We are to have on the garments of humility. But they said, we'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our own apparel. We'll clothe ourselves like we want to clothe ourselves. All we want is your name to take away our reproach. Folks, Satan have religious spirits to deal with those kind of people. People that want to be religious. They want the name of a Christian. They want to be numbered among the saints, but they don't want to pay the price. Satan has spirits that he have commissioned and dispatched to deal with those kind of people. And do you know that those spirits will give power? They'll give knowledge. They'll give understanding. Those spirits will give visions and revelations, and sometimes those things will come true, folks. But it's all to deceive that individual soul, see? It's all for the purpose that Satan can get in and take advantage of that individual, get possession of that individual, and destroy their eternal soul. Do you know that Satan has spirits that will feign themselves to be the Holy Ghost? He have false religious spirits, demonic spirits, that will feign themselves and pretend to be the Holy Ghost, that they can get advantage of your soul and destroy your eternal soul. I know where Satan's seat is. Folks, this is real. This is not a fairy tale. There are demonic spirits that Satan have commissioned and dispatched to deal with people in every area. All right, going a little bit farther, I believe 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, reading the 14th verse. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul,
and an evil
spirit from the Lord troubled him. I believe that's good. Thank you. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. How is it that the devil is able to get in and get an advantage of precious souls, be able to get entrenched in their heart and in their life and build a stronghold? Oh, folks, listen. There are reasons that the devil is able to take possession of people. That soul has to open themselves up. Here at one time, as we consider Saul, this man was a man of God. The favor of God was upon him. God's stamp of approval rested upon Saul. But as Saul journeyed along the path of life, he became proud. He became lifted up. He became exalted within himself. I believe Samuel, as he was dealing with him, he said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, God chose you. God exalted you. God blessed you. But somehow this man had given way to pride, and he began to drift away from God. He began to disobey. He began to do little things that was contrary to the will and word and way of God. And it come down to a time that God instructed him, I want you to go down and deal with the Amalekites. I remember what they did to my people Israel, how they laid wait for them when they came out of Egypt. And now the cup of my wrath is being poured out against them. I want you to go down and smite Amalek. Destroy that nation of people, everything that pertained to them, man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, camel, sheep, ass, everything I want can totally wiped out. Here Saul went down, he warred against Amalek, he utterly destroyed all that was vile and refuge, but he spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, and he spared King Agag. Yes. And he returned back to his place. Samuel came down to Gilgal, and Saul went out to meet him. He said, "Blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord." Samuel said, "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen that I hear in my ear?" Oh, here Saul began to make excuses. He began to excuse himself for the things that he'd done. He began to justify himself. Folks, do you not know that when God is dealing with your soul and my soul, and God enlightened our understanding, you have sinned, you've done wrong, you've transgressed my divine law, you've gone contrary to my command, and we began to justify ourselves. We began to make excuses. We're opening ourselves up to the spirit of the devil. Oh, listen. Saul finally broke down and acknowledged, "Yes, I've sinned." But he said, "Turn with me and honor me before the elders." Pride in his heart, see? Oh, folks, tonight, listen. When we know that we've transgressed the divine law of God, the best thing an individual can do is fall on their face before God, humble themselves before God, plead the mercy of God. "Lord, I've sinned. I've gone contrary to your word and will and way. Would you have mercy upon me? Would you pardon me and forgive me?" But here Saul just backed off and he wouldn't humble his heart. And as a result, God took away his spirit. And an evil spirit came in its place. Folks, how is it that the devil is able to get possession of precious souls? He can't just walk up and force his way into the heart and life of an individual. We must give place to the devil, see? Saul gave place to the devil. And God just backed off and took away his spirit. And an evil spirit came right in and began to deal with Saul. All right. I want to go back now to Revelation, the second chapter, beginning at the 12th verse again. The writer said here, Jesus speaking, "To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things that he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them which hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." I know where Satan's seat is. Do you know that Satan, the enemy of all souls, has somehow been successful in gaining a seat, in getting established, in getting entrenched, in taking up residence, building him a stronghold right in the congregation of the righteous? Not in the church, but in the congregation. The church is a body of men and women and boys and girls that's clean, blameless, holy, spotless, undefiled, free from sin. But somehow the devil had been successful in getting among the congregation of the righteous and getting himself anchored and established and building a stronghold and promoting false doctrine right among God's people. The Lord said here, "I have somewhat against you because you have those that have the doctrine of Balaam that taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and to eat things sacrificed unto the idols. You have also those that carry the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Listen, dear one, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was a corrupt and wicked and ungodly doctrine. It was a community of wives. No man's wife was just his wife. Everybody else's wife, see? How could ever such a doctrine enter in among the people of God? But somehow Satan had gotten an advantage. Somehow he had gotten right among God's people and gotten himself established and was promoting false doctrine. I know where Satan's seat is. The Lord said, "Repent." Repent. Why
Why repent?
These people that Christ was talking to had not gotten involved. They didn't have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They didn't have the doctrine of Balaam, but it had gotten in among them. And the Lord said, repent. First of all, in dealing with the religious leaders, you need to repent because had you been on your duty, on your post of duty, had you dealt with that spirit, listen, folks, the leaders of God's church are to have spiritual discernment. We're to be able to discern those spirits that's coming in among God's people, and we are to deal with those spirits, take actions against those spirits. But I thought about it. Maybe these people that were being dealt with, those individuals that Satan had influenced. We're talking now about demonic influence. How the devil can come right in and influence people. Maybe these people, he's not able to possess them, see? Not able to come in and take up a residence in their life. But he'll come in and influence them and sway them and get a power over them that he can guide them and channel them in a certain direction, see? Maybe the people that were being influenced were people that were respectable people. They may have been religious leaders, see? They may have been kin to a certain family. And as a result, I fear to put my hands upon this thing, see? Because these people are related to such and such. And I know if I touch that thing, what's going to happen, see? So the Lord said, repent. You need to repent. Had you been on your post of duty, had you dealt with that thing, that individual, God is saying you need to humble yourself and you need to acknowledge, yes, Lord, I was afraid to deal with the matter. I saw the thing entering in. I saw the Spirit working among God's people, but I was afraid to deal with it for this reason and that reason. And I know, Lord, if I dealt like I should have dealt, that Spirit will never have been able to get in among the congregation of the righteous and get anchored and established among God's people, see? Amen. Repent. Yes. I'm thinking also here, maybe there were some that were not in leadership position, but the Lord said, repent. You're not in a leadership, well, Lord, I couldn't deal directly with that issue, see? I'm not in a leadership position. But listen, though you're not in a leadership position, when you see corrupt and evil things entering in among God's people, you can take a firm stand in your heart against that thing. You can cry out against it, even though you're not in a leadership position. Firm stand in your heart against it. You fail to voice out and cry out against it. And as a result, just humble your heart and acknowledge, yes, Lord, I saw that thing working, but I didn't take the stand that I should have taken. I didn't voice out as I should have voiced out. I know if I had taken the proper stand, I know if I had cried out as I should, that spirit would never have been able to enter in among your people and get established. May God help us.
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking about those. Maybe there were some in the congregation that had been saved for years, but they were in no spiritual condition to discern what was working in the congregation.
Yes.
I'm thinking about Paul speaking to a group of people. He said that these people, when they should have been eating meat, they were still drinking milk, see? Had made no spiritual progress. There are people, dear ones, among God's people that have been saved for years and yet they've made no spiritual progress. Spirits can come in and work right among God's people and they cannot readily discern what's going on, see? The Lord said, repent. You need to humble your heart. You need to acknowledge that, Lord, had I got down to business, had I dug down as I should have dug down and got the experience that I should have gotten, I would have been able to discern what was working among your people. I'd have been able to take a stand against that thing, and Satan would never have gotten himself established among your people. I'm thinking maybe there was some in the congregation that had a sympathizing spirit. Oh, folks, do you not know that there are people that sympathize? And do you know it's an extremely dangerous thing to sympathize?
Yeah.
When we begin to sympathize, do you know that spirit will take us over too?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I believe Brother S.O. Susag mentioned an incident. This was an incident where they were casting out devils out of an individual. And I believe there was another individual sitting and watching. And she began to think, no, not Sister So-and-so, surely not Sister So-and-so. And when she began to sympathize, the devil came out of that woman and went into her. It's a dangerous thing, folks, to sympathize with demonic spirits. Oh, listen, maybe there were those that sympathized. They shouldn't have dealt with those people that way. They dealt too hard. They dealt with too much judgment. They shouldn't have dealt like that. And as they begin to sympathize, the devil is right there to begin to put that spirit upon them, see? The Lord said, repent. You need to repent. If you hadn't had a sympathizing spirit, Lord, I realize if I hadn't sympathized with that thing, if I'd really taken the stand that I should have taken, that spirit would never have been able to come in among God's people and get established. I know where Satan's seat is. I'm thinking, dear ones, do you know that those spirits, once they get established in a congregation, it's a difficult thing to deal with. But I'm persuaded that God's people, through prayer, through fasting, through taking a stand against those spirits, can actually repel the powers of the enemy and root those spirits out of the congregations of the righteous. All right, I'm thinking a little bit farther here. People die, but spirits don't. Now, once the spirit get established in a congregation, the people that he has influenced in that congregation may die and pass off the scene. That spirit is still there. And he's still working and influencing other people, see? But listen, we need the spirit out of the congregation, see? Don't let the spirit stay. The people have died, they passed off the scene, but that spirit is still there. And folks, when that spirit sees that he's losing ground in that congregation, and maybe there's no one else surrendering and submitting to him, you know what he'll do? He'll recruit him someone. He'll bring someone in from somewhere else. That he can keep that spirit alive, see? That he can keep the power, the seat, the authority that he has, see? Listen, folks, Satan is a cunning and shrewd worker. But I'm persuaded that God's people can gain victory over the powers of hell.
Amen.
All right, as we go a little farther, I'm thinking if you would check the history of some churches, just some congregations, and you just went back several years in that congregation and checked the history of that congregation, you would find that the spirit that's working now worked years back in that same congregation. That same spirit worked in that congregation, has been there for years. But God wants us to get a hold to him, that those spirits can be rooted out from among God's people.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go a little farther. I want you to bear with us a little while. Do you know also that Satan will follow a family line?
Yes.
Have you ever known the Lord, or maybe heard or read how the Lord works with people? Maybe the Lord will find an individual, and that individual has abilities, and that God will deal with their heart, and they'll submit, they'll surrender, they'll yield to God, and God will take those abilities, and he'll give gifts according to them, and maybe this individual will become a preacher. Great-grandfather is a preacher. Coming down the line, God deals. The grandfather is a preacher. Coming on down, the son is a preacher. The grandson's a preacher. God will follow a family line, see? And wherever people will submit and surrender and yield to him, God will make use of those souls. Satan will also follow a family line. The devil will deal with an individual. If he can get that individual to submit to him, and he'll take possession of them, and he'll work with them, he'll influence them, whatever the case might be, and he'll go right down the line of that family, folks, and he'll pick out souls out of that family, and he'll use them. May God help us.
like for you to turn with us now to the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. I'd like to read verses 10 through 16, please. Dealing with demonic influence.
And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath.
Yes.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years.
Yes.
And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God.
Amen. Do you know that Satan commissioned and dispatched certain spirits that are spirits of infirmity that work among God's people? They cannot possess God's people, see, but they will influence God's people, and they will gain a power and a sway over God's people. This woman was a daughter of Abraham, and she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Satan had controlled this woman. A physical condition. There are spirits of infirmity that Satan will commission to deal with certain people because he realized there's a certain weakness about them, that they will accept that spirit. They'll let that spirit come and take control. There are some people that as you deal, look at that individual, maybe they have several afflictions. Maybe they've been afflicted for a long time, see? Folks, a lot of times it's a spirit of infirmity. But the devil will get them to accept that spirit, see, in this sense. That, well, my mother was a weakly woman. She was sickly, see. And so it's just a natural thing. It runs in my family. And so I can accept that I'm just sickly and weakly. When God desired to heal that individual, God desired them to be made whole. But because they give place to a spirit of infirmity, the devil will hold them in bondage for years. I know where Satan's seat is. I know how the enemy have been successful in gaining a hold, in gaining control, in gaining the power, even right over God's people in certain ways, see? All right, going a little bit farther here. I'd like for us to turn to Revelation, the 12th chapter, reading verses 10 and 11, please. Yes.
Now has come salvation.
Yes. Yes.
The power of his Christ.
The accused of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Loved not their lives unto the death. Do you know that Satan have accusing spirits that he commissioned and dispatched to deal with certain people? I'm thinking about a spirit of accusation and how it worked. Sometime a person, people are saved and they're going along and maybe you go through the day and everything is going real well for you. You're just happy and satisfied and blessed in your soul and you go to bed at night. Everything is going well. You're happy. You fall off to sleep and you awake in the morning and the devil is right there to whisper in your ear and tell you, you're not saved. And you begin to wonder, what? I haven't done anything. But you don't feel saved, see? You get up in the morning and I just don't feel like I'm saved. Folks, there are accusing spirits that work like this, see? I don't feel like I'm saved. And you begin to look your life over. All I've been doing is sleeping. How could I have sinned, see? Nothing I could have done to sin. But listen, folks, that's a powerful spirit that we're dealing with, see? Listen, that spirit will work with you and work with you. And you battle that spirit and you fight that spirit and you gain a victory over it. I know I'm saved. I haven't done anything wrong. And then the next few days, the devil will tell you, you're not sanctified. If I wasn't saved, I most certainly am not sanctified. Folks, the devil has spirits of accusation, see? And he will move from one place to another. When you uncover him along one line, he'll just simply move somewhere else, see? And he'll deal with you in another manner, see? Where you're not sanctified. You wrestle with that. You fight with that. You gain a victory over that, see? And the devil moves somewhere else. Accusing spirits, see? Accusing spirits. The devil will accuse you of not reading enough. You've already read five or six chapters in one day. And the devil will say, you're not reading enough. You need to read more. You're not praying enough, see? That's an accusing spirit, folks. What the devil is trying to do is bind things so tight and make salvation so miserable that you'll just give it up. I can't deal with this, see? I can't deal with it. Those are accusing spirits. I know where Satan's seat is, see? Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. The devil will accuse God to us. The Lord is not fair to you. God has didn't deal justly with you, see? God has respect to person. Look how the Lord blessed brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, see? And he didn't bless you that way. The devil will not only accuse us, he will accuse God to us to try to turn us against God, see? Accusing spirits. I know where Satan's seat is. Oh, folks, listen. The enemy is cunning and shrewd in the way that he deals. All right, would you turn with us now to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and read the 7th verse.
'For God hath not given us the spirit of fear.
God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power,
and of love,
and of a sound mind.
You know that Satan has spirits that he commissioned and dispatched. These are fearful spirits. They're spirits to promote fear in the hearts and lives of the saints of God. See? I'm thinking as I thought about this, do you know that there are people that just live in fear? They fear tomorrow. They fear that I'm somehow going to lose my job. There's no present danger about it at all, see? But the devil is right there with the fear to press upon their mind and upon their heart, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your home. Your wife or your husband is going to leave you. There's no present danger. The husband or the wife have shown no means of wanting to leave, but there's a fear on the heart of that individual. There are spirits that the devil have commissioned to work with saints and promote fear in their heart and in their life, see? All right. I thought about some people. They fear some future tragedy. Oh, I'm afraid to die. And no, not sick, nothing wrong with them at all, but they're constantly in fear of dying. They fear that I'm going to get cancer, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that. It's a constant fear upon their heart. It's a spirit that's dealing like that, see? I know where Satan's seat is. I know how the enemy have been successful in getting an advantage of the people of God and gaining a certain power over them, tormenting their lives, see? I thought about talking to one individual one time, and they mentioned how that they would maybe sometime wake up in the night and they would go by the children's room, and not babies, these were young teenagers and all, but they just have to stop and look in on that child and make sure he was still breathing. Afraid that that child had died, see? Just a spirit of fear that tormented them, see? Folks, this is how the enemy of our soul worked, and he worked with the saints that way, see? May the Lord bless us and help us. In John, the first chapter, First John, the 4th chapter, verse 17 and 18, please.
Herein is our love made perfect.
Yes.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Yes.
Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
There is no fear in love.
But perfect love casteth out fear.
Because fear has torment.
Fear hath torment.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
When we are troubled with spirits of fear, and we can't seem to get over that thing, sometimes we just simply need to seek the Lord. Lord, I need more love. That love will automatically repel that spirit, see? The more that I love God, the closer I draw to God, the more that I realize God loved me, the more that I realize He's not going to let anything harm His trusting child, see? So we need to draw closer to the Lord. Lord, I need more love. All right, I'm thinking, coming down to a close here. Do you know that the devil have commissioned and dispatched compromised spirits? They're spirits of compromise. The devil It's one thing the way the enemy works. He wants the saints. If he can't get an individual, this individual have come out of the world, and Satan realized it's no way that I can get them to go back into the world. I cannot get this individual to go back to drugs, to drink, and to the nightclubs and all of those things. So he will commission a compromise spirit to deal with that individual, see? Now, the word compromise, in one sense, means to surrender or to give up. He commissions a spirit to work with that individual to cause them to surrender and give up righteous principles. Cause them to back off of the standard, see? The standard of righteousness and holiness I'm talking about. Cause them to back up off of God's standard. And that spirit will reason with them. That spirit will begin to say, now, it's not necessary for you to do all of this. We need a little more liberty. This thing is too tight, see? We need to loosen up a little bit. It's no harm in going here and going there. And it's no harm in doing this and doing that, see? A spirit of compromise working with that individual. And as they surrender, as they back off of the blessings that God had given to them, they begin to drift away from God. And eventually what happened is the grace of God leaked right out of their soul and they're left with an empty profession. They come up just like the five foolish virgins go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. I'm thinking, on the other hand, there are people that the spirit, this spirit of compromise deal with, and these people are not interested at all in going here and going there. They're not interested in wearing this and wearing that. But the way the devil worked with them is this way. The devil talked to them and he say, now listen, even though you don't want to do these things, yet if we let down a little bit, if we pull up some of the stakes and put them out a little bit farther, we can gain more souls to the Lord. And so they surrendered to that. Yes, I don't want to do these things. I wouldn't do these things myself. But I feel it's a benefit for others. We can win more souls to the Lord. Folks, we can win souls to a movement by removing righteous principles. But we cannot win souls to God that way. May the Lord help us. All right, as we go a little bit farther, there are spirits that Satan have commissioned and dispatched that are fanatical spirits. They go beyond, see? They go overboard. One definition for the word fanatical said it's to be overly zealous, see? People are overly zealous, and they come to the place, now, let's get this thing right. Let's just really get it right, see? And as a result, the devil began to work with them, and they go beyond God's word. They go beyond God's will. They go beyond the leading of the Holy Ghost, and they establish their own standards, see? Fanatical spirits. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. All right, dear ones, the scripture says, I know where Satan's seat is. I know how the enemy have been successful in getting in, taking up residence in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. I know how the enemy have been successful in influencing God's people in one way or another. We want to encourage you tonight, if Satan has gotten an advantage of you in some way and you're possessed, the Lord can grant deliverance to your soul. If Satan have gotten an advantage of you tonight, and the enemy has been able to influence you in a certain way, you would never give in to being possessed, but you've just been influenced, and he's gotten a certain power, a certain control over you. He's gotten a spirit of fear, a spirit of accusation. We want you to know there is complete deliverance tonight. If you'll just look to Jesus, the Lord is able to grant whatever your needs are tonight.